Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 reads this way. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. God made it happen. And what we need to be reminded of over and over again is that God did this. He sent his son in his own time, in his own place, for his own purposes. He made it happen, and he has been making it happen over and over again. And again, this Christmas season, this season of Advent, this Christmas story is but a reminder that God is in the business of making things happen. And in this regard, because he sent his son, we have all become joint heirs with Christ. We have become joint heirs of all the gifts that God seeks to give to his son. He's going to give us those same gifts. Is that a blessing, church? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you have done, what you are continue to do right now, and what you will do. We thank you for this year, 2008. And Father, we approach the year 2009 with great faith that you will continue to make things happen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to turn to me to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, starting at verse number 12, as we conclude this series, his name means, today his name means completeness. Revelation chapter 22, starting at verse number 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, and sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of this of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to them the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from his share in the tree of life. And in this holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. And as we approach the close of another year, it's proper to look, I believe, at how God has been making things happen. I know we sometimes have a tendency to talk about and to dwell on what's not happening, how something hasn't happened at our church, or talk about what our church wants to do but we can't do or we won't do. And there'll be time for that. But this morning, I think we should talk about how God is making things happen in this church. Just look around at the way God is using people in this body. I want to take time to thank all of you volunteers who have volunteered to teach our children. This service to the body of Christ is not one to be taken lightly. You have been entrusted with educating our children in the ways of the Lord. We have baptized some of our children this year, and most of these kids have stated that their Bible classes were instrumental and influential in their decision. So if you have taught a children's class this year, could you please stand right now so we could recognize you? If you have taught a kid's class, the cradle roll, fourth grade, third grade, second grade, thank you so much for your service to this body. I also want to thank, I don't see him in here, but Puff and Aaron, who lead the children's education. There's Aaron right here. Thank you so much, for leading that ministry. And again, taking that role and that duty of being entrusted with leading, the education of our children. That is not to be taken lightly, and your work has not been overlooked. So praise God for you. God has many of you in various, ways, various positions in this body. And I want you to know that your ministry and your service does not go unrecognized. You have done things around this building with no fanfare because you desire no fanfare. You have fixed things around this building. You have made people feel welcome when they come into this place. You have displayed hospitality that reflects the love of Jesus and many calories, Dr. Nick. Thank you so much for how you have done your role. I mean, I want to thank, you know, Nick for, you know, manning that station back there and purchasing goods and making people feel welcome with a cup of coffee and two or three or four or five donuts. It makes them feel welcome to be in this place. I want to praise God for Mike Irish, who has been doing stuff around this building. No one knows about it. He probably didn't want me to say a word, but I want you to know that I praise God for you because of what you're doing in this place, because God is making things happen here. Thank you for allowing God to make it happen through you. God is making it happen. Over the past several months, we have seen a steady growth, an increase in our weekly attendance and in our weekly offering. Much of the year, we have averaged a weekly attendance between 150 and 170. But over the past 3 to 4 months, we have averaged a number between 190 and over 200. The body of Christ has made a commitment to come together and to display a genuine spirit of worship and fellowship. And I suppose that this spirit is contagious. I want to thank the praise and worship team for what they contribute and the spirit that they do it in. I appreciate, again, all of those who when people come in this building, the first thing you do is to go up to them and introduce yourself and to make them feel like they're amongst friends and family. I thank you for those of you who desire to have others become a part of this place. And you show this by inviting your friends and families to participate in our worship. For those who do things behind the scenes, the Ruth and Ruth connection, who take care of preparing the communion every week, I want to thank you for allowing God to make things happen through you. Likewise, I'd like to commend this body for your spirit of giving, which has shown a steady increase over the last year. I want to publicly thank you for giving, for most of you know, my family is a recipient of a salary from this body. This is how I earn a living. And your giving helps to take care of my family and me. And you've been doing this for close to 7 years. And I am eternally grateful. Thank you. I have many friends in ministry that complain about their compensation. And I want you to know I have never complained. And I will never complain. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking care of my family. I also want to thank the members of the finance team. Primarily, I want to thank Brian Wilson today. Brian is the money guy. He pays the bills and balances the checkbook and listens to the many requests from ministry leaders for money. And I know this can be a stressful undertaking. How many of you just love balancing the checkbook? Isn't that your favorite activity? Yeah. You don't even have a checkbook. Brian has the responsibility of taking care of our church's finances along with others, but primarily Brian, and he's not in here, is he? But he's counting the money right now. go figure. But Karen, you tell him. I just want to thank him. You know, for the times where you know, he gets stressed out because sometimes he has to say, no, I can't write that check. Or sometimes, you know, forgetting to write a check. And he's so apologetic for that. But if you see Brian, you thank him for doing the things, you know, being involved with others and trying to renegotiate our mortgage, which has been a great help for us to help us to have more money to do more ministry with. So thank him for managing our finances for several years now. And others, the Education Committee, as I mentioned before, I want to thank them. I also want to thank Shannon Collins. Shannon Collins, over the past year or so, has been coordinating our ministries in such a way where we have monthly meetings, and Shannon has been just extremely diligent at making sure that the ministries are communicating. And she ran these meetings we had on Wednesday, which were just fantastic, all, you know, because of her undertaking. And you gave out recognition and flowers to no one. And to this point, I don't know if anyone has given you any flowers. I don't have any flowers, but in my pocket, I've got some money. And let's see. Here's $15 to go buy some eggs and brownie mix. See, those of you who are in class get that. Thank you, Shannon, for all that you've done in ministries. Look, time just doesn't permit me to point out everyone, but I do want you to know that what you do in the body of Christ does not go overlooked. It does not go unnoticed. I will admit that some of your work may at times appear to go unnoticed or overlooked. But I also want to stress this. What's important is that if it goes unnoticed by me, or if it goes unnoticed by Perry, if it goes unnoticed by Shannon, if it goes unnoticed by Connie here, there is one that absolutely will notice it every time. And that is God Almighty. God sees it, and God is blessing it, and God is the one making it happen. It makes sense that this is the case. We just read in the revelation of John the Apostle that Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 and 13, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. If he will give to everyone according to what each one has done, that means he is watching. He is observing, and with him noticing, with him nothing goes overlooked. And he is the one giving life and vitality to all that we do. And he is the one that offers the water of life when you get thirsty and tired. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, or the A through the Z. He is in control of it. He is what it is all about. He is the one who will bring whatever you need to bring it to completeness. The name of Jesus means consolation. That is to say, hope and comfort. The name of Jesus means coronation. That is to say that he is king of our lives, king of our hearts. The name of Jesus means compassion, which is to say that he cares. And the name of Jesus means completeness. And as we approach this new year, I pray that we will come to understand and come to know fully in our hearts and the depths of our soul that the name of Jesus means completeness. That because he is the Alpha and Omega, because he is the author and perfecter of our faith, according to Hebrews chapter 12, that his name means completeness. God has made it clear to us, church, that he is interested in completing in us his will for us. He will, his will for the body and his will for the communities we live in. He is interested in bringing it to his completion. We might not see the progress we want to see. We might not see it happening like we want to see it. But I come to you in the name of Jesus to tell you that God can make things happen, that God is making things happen, and he ain't through with us yet. I was watching Steve Harvey a well-known comedian. If you've watched Steve Harvey, you know that he can be known for his vulgar stand-up comedy. I was watching a DVD that I purchased from Walmart a couple weeks ago entitled Don't Trip, God Ain't Through With Me Yet. Thought that was an interesting title, so I picked it up. Apparently, several years ago, Steve Harvey expressed to some preachers that he wanted to change, that he wanted to clean up his comedy. So after a few instances of doing some clean comedy, he was invited to do a comedy showcase at a Christian conference. So he's at this Christian conference and he's expressing to the crowd there that you know, he's just grateful to God. He starts off by just praising God for what God was doing in his life. And he apologized beforehand to say, now some of you know me that I'm a pretty vulgar guy. He says, but I just want to apologize beforehand if I might slip up during this performance. But then he said this. He says, but let me say this. If I do slip up, I want y'all to know something. That one of the reasons why I might slip up is because God is not through with me yet. He said, so don't trip. God ain't through with me yet. And if you would allow me to steal that phrase, because it's so real, I want to be perfect right now. I want to be the best minister I can be right now. I want to have all the answers to life right now. But I have to back up for a minute and remember that I am a work in progress, and God ain't through with me yet. So don't trip. If you don't like ain't, God isn't through with me yet. If you don't like apostrophes, God is not through with me yet. Whatever you like, don't trip, which is to say, don't become impatient. Don't grow impatient. Strive with me a little bit. Because God ain't through with me yet. From a prison cell, the Apostle Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And if anyone knows what it means to be a work in progress, it was Paul. If anyone knew what it meant to trust in God who can make things happen, it was Paul. And Paul made it a point to pray for the brothers and sisters in Philippi from a jail cell that God would bring to completion that what he started in the saints there. It's the same prayer that we employ today, and watch the answer of this prayer make itself known and made manifest among the people here. God is not through with us yet. We're not where we're going to be because God is still working on us. We're still works in progress as individuals, as a church, we're still a work in progress. So don't trip. God ain't through with us yet. And this we do know. This we do know. That God, who began a good work in this creation as individuals and as a church, is faithful to complete it. Take, for instance, this. I asked Wendy Brown to share with me some thoughts regarding the community of care dinners. About 3 years ago, the elders at Reynolds Bird asked the congregation to identify the various ministries that were already going on that people would like to start. There was a ministry sign-up listed in the foyer where members could list the various ministries along with their ministry leaders. I decided I was going to sign myself up as the ministry leader for the kitchen ministry. There had been so many times that there weren't not enough plates or forks, etc., in the kitchen for the potlucks and Wednesday night bites. And really no one person charged with keeping track of making sure these items were always available in the kitchen. After the ministries were identified, the elders distributed forms for us to put down our thoughts and plans and dreams for our ministry. These were to be filled out and turned back in before the first scheduled ministry leaders meeting. In my mind at the time, the kitchen ministry was just a means of equipping the saints to eat and getting Wendy Brown access to Sam's Club. So this is what I put on my form. And really, it all seemed like a joke to me because when I think of a ministry, I think of Guyana and Honduras or Children's Church and all the good works of these ministries. Buying forks and plates at Sam's Club on a monthly basis should not even qualify as a ministry. A few days before the ministry leaders meeting, I woke up in the middle of the night with the thought of using the kitchen at church to feed people in our community and share Jesus. I know God put that thought there because then for the next 2 hours, we argued back and forth, or let's just say I argued, about how, what, when, where, why. Then I put it out of my mind, or I tried anyway. But over the next few days, the thoughts kept getting stronger and would not go away. So finally, I took my ministry leader form for the kitchen and rewrote it to include feeding people in the community. So now I was out there. I spent the next several months researching soup kitchen ministries and what was needed to start them up. I talked to people and got advice. I researched writing grants to fund soup kitchens. I talked to people at church about helping out with it. I continued to report my findings on how it would need to happen at the ministry leaders meeting. It was going to be a big task because we were going to need a fully equipped kitchen at church with lots of servers to equip it as well as food to serve. I had made it into much more than it had to be. It all became overwhelming, and I threw my hands up in the air and said, "Why me? I can't do this, Lord." About this time, Perry and I started going through a financial crisis. And I only mention this because I fully believe this had to happen to prepare me personally and give me a true heart and understanding for this work. It was a very rough and difficult time, and had we not had God and our church family to lean on, I am frightened at the thought of where we'd be today. Thankfully, God pulled us through it. We had to make some adjustments in our household, and the plan for feeding those in the community were put aside once again. Then in the summer of 2007, Dion's sermon series about God using ordinary people to carry out his plans moved me into action. I remember one particular Sunday when he spoke about the lady that started feeding the homeless in downtown Columbus. She only started with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I started to feel convicted because God put this on my heart the year before, and also knowing that people in the community are hurting financially, going through what Perry and I had gone through without God and a church family. I guess God had given me the kick in the pants I needed. Her words, not mine. So I planned to have a dinner on the first Saturday evening in August 2007. It would be open to anyone in the community with no strings attached. I announced there would be a dinner planning meeting, and those who were interested were invited to come. 9 people attended that meeting. We decided to change the date of the dinner to the fourth Saturday of the month, since the end of the month is probably the most difficult financially for struggling families. Greg made notes on a whiteboard and kind of directed the meeting. One of the biggest jobs was a grocery giveaway, which Dana graciously volunteered to organize. The plan would be to give 1 week's worth of groceries, all non-perishable items, to each family that came to dinner. We would prepare for 30 families. It just so happened that a man donated a bunch of groceries to our church a few months before. He showed up one Sunday morning with boxes of non-perishable items. I have no idea who he was, and I have asked around, but no one seems to remember him. We decided that we would do this every month and call it the Community of Care. In the beginning, we would operate pretty much on a donation basis. Our church members would prepare food for serving, and pantry would be supplied by donations of non-perishable items, as well as monetary donations. I think we all came to the conclusion that this was not just going to be filling a need physically, but spiritually as well. Although it wasn't to be a bait and switch, the important thing was that we have our own church members there at dinner, eating and fellowshipping with the guests that attend casually, extend the invitation to come to worship with us, and enter into a relationship with Jesus. So the meal was planned, jobs assigned, flyers announcing the dinner and grocery giveaway were on their way to being distributed. The first Community of Care dinner was held at 5 p.m. on August 25th, 2007. 6 families were served. Since then, we have served a total of 119 households in the community. Most attend the dinner on a regular basis. Some of the families even attend our church services on a regular basis. The community of care dinner is advertised monthly at the library, Shepherd's Place, and through the Reynoldsburg School District, as well as through the mail to households that we've previously attended. We also have a fully functional food pantry. Gloria was kind enough to move her library to another location so that we could use the room in the back of the fellowship hall for the pantry. Dean spent hours installing shelves in the pantry to store the food on. Dana makes shopping trips every month to fill in gaps in our supplies. She also makes sure the groceries are all bagged and ready for distribution. A refrigerator was donated to the pantry in September, and we now have the ability to include perishable items in the giveaway. God sees the dinner through each month. We always have just the right amount of food to serve, just the right amount of groceries to give away, and just the right amount of members to help the night of the dinner. It started out with replacing forks and spoons in the pantry. Your dream may start out with something that simple. We serve a God that turned a desire to replenish a pantry with plates, forks, and spoons to literally changing lives. Changing lives. He that began a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion. Now here's the scary thing. God ain't through with her yet. God's not through with Wendy yet. God's not through with Shannon yet. God's not through with Janet yet. God's not through with Conrad yet. God's not through with Brian yet. Don't trip. We're a work in progress. And this we know. That God is faithful to bring it to completion. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the king. Answer us. When we call, church, the name of Jesus means completeness. We're all works and projects. We're all God's creation, and God is not through with us yet. Don't think that he's done with you yet. Don't think because you're 45 or 55 or 65 or 85 or 95 that he's through with you yet. Don't think because you're 10, 11, and 12 that he hasn't started yet. He started in all of us, and he is faithful to bring us completeness in Jesus Christ. And as we approach 2009, as we go forward in 2009, may this be our truth. May this be our mantra. May this be our statement that don't trip. God ain't through with us yet. He's got much to do with us. He's going to make things happen. And we approach that with faith. We approach that with great joy, with great anticipation of how God is going to use us in 2009. Wendy's story is but one example of how God is making it happen through her dreams. Right now, I suppose that many of you have dreams. Many of you have thoughts. Many of you have visions. This place is not a place where your dreams and visions come to die. No. As your brothers and sisters in faith, this is where we want to help feed the dream, feed the vision. You know, Walter, all he saw was a blank field. That's all Walter saw was a blank field out there. He brought a friend. He says, man, I'm telling you, man, I need some partners to invest with me because, man, I'm telling you, years from now, millions and millions of people will come here and they're going to spend money. And man, we're going to make so much money. His friend said, Walter, you got to be nuts. It's just a blank field. That blank field is Disney World. That blank field is now Disneyland. How many of y'all have been to Disneyland the past 2-3 years? Caleb was like, yeah, me. This is not a place where your dreams come to die. This is not a place where you say, oh, my dream, that's just silly, that's just nothing. No, your dreams and your vision, your thoughts, is something that God is ready to use and bring it to completion. I have faith in that church. And that's what we need to be about in 2009. Amen? If you have dreams, if you have visions, if you have thoughts, if you have ideas, tell somebody about it. Pray about it. Wrestle with it. Argue. But don't let it die. Let God do something with it, because he can make things happen. Do you believe that? Do you believe he can make things happen? Let's pray. God, for being so faithful to us in 2008 and all the years past. Father, we only anticipate you being faithful to us in 2009. God, where the questions arise is, are we going to be faithful to you? Well, we can only start with this profession as a body of Christ, to be faithful to you, to put our trust in you, not to put our trust in the chariots or in our power or our might, but to put our trust to rest it solely on you. Father, may we be reminded through the stories of those in our midst of how God has used them, how you have used them to bring ministries to completion, to take dreams that might seem silly at the start, to blow that up into something that is just literally changing lives. Father, may we be encouraged by those stories, and may we seek to take our dreams, our visions, our thoughts, to lay them in your hands, to surrender them to you, and allow you to do with them what you wish. Father, give us a spirit of patience and dealing with one another, and understanding that you're not through with any of us, that we're all works in progress. Yes, we all aspire to be better than we are, but we are just who we are. We're who we are right now. But we do know this, that you are working on us. We're your workmanship. We're your creation. And we have faith that you're going to work your creation into what you desire to be and bring it fully to completion. Thank you, God, for being God and reminding us that we're not. We put our faith, our trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ right now? We want to offer you that opportunity, professing your faith. You want to be baptized? You want to recommit your life? You want to start the year 2009 right by making a profession of faith or making a profession of a change of heart? We want to give you that opportunity. Please stand. As we sing the song, if you want to share that with the body, please come.